In your Bibles this morning, Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, and we will read verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Throughout our nation, there are memorials of all kinds, statues and buildings and cemeteries and monuments and music and bridges and gardens. A memorial simply says something happened here that is worth remembering. Memorials come in one of two forms, I think. First of all, there are memorials that remember a person or an event, but is not directly tied to the person or the event. The Washington Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial. Second of all, other memorials are tied to an event or a place. The Alamo comes to mind. I'm from Texas. It's natural for me to think of that. When you go inside that old mission, 189 patriots died right there. There's a difference. If you visit Pearl Harbor and take the launch out to the USS Arizona Memorial, you will stand only feet away from that ship where 1,122 entombed soldiers breathe their last, and they are still there. That memorial is tied to the event, and it is deeply, deeply moving. There is a cemetery that overlooks Normandy. Omaha and Juneau beaches are just below. As you look at those graves, you get a good sense of what happened there. It would take you back to June 6th, 1944, what forever will be known as D-Day. On the night before he died, Jesus Christ gathered those who walked by his side in an upper room. And he told them that he would be crucified. He told them the things that would happen the next day. He said that he would build a memorial in their life and all the Christians that would follow them. And he said, I want you to keep it until I return. It was a simple memorial. It is called the Lord's Supper. And it is deeply moving every time we have the Lord's Supper at this church. Job, that Old Testament patriarch who was well acquainted with the loss of loved ones, said this in Job chapter 14, mark your calendar to think of me again. If mortals die, can they live again? This thought would give me hope, and through my struggle, I would eagerly wait for release. Because of the testimony of the Word of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know the answer to that question that Job raised. If a man die, shall he live again? The soul, ladies and gentlemen, is immortal, and in Christ, life is everlasting. We mark our calendars to think of people again on this Memorial Day. Your life has been touched by the loss of a loved one. Around you every day are reminders of who they are and what they mean to you. I want to just mention two that we lost this last year, two members of our church last year. Charlie Yates died. Charlie Yates, ever since I was saved over 50 years ago, I've known Charlie. And he died this last year. And then Gerald Krueger died this past year. Mrs. Krueger is here. Ms. Krueger, how long were you two married before Gerald? How many? 70 years. They were married before the Lord took Gerald home. We need to remember them. So first of all, our responsibility to freedom is to rest in what God has done for us. Salvation is not spelled do, it is spelled done. You can rest in what God has already done for you because of what Jesus did to set us free. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God is in control over world leaders. He lets them strut and fret their hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. He lets them go so far and then he cuts them off. But ladies and gentlemen, his blood sets us free forever. Rest in that security. Second of all, respond with a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Freedom is a little like understanding kite flying. Stay with me or you're going to miss it altogether, okay? When the wind is strong, the kite goes higher and higher. It tugs against the string. If the string breaks, the kite is free, but it no longer soars higher. It crashes to the ground. It was the restraint of the string that kept the kite flying. It is not the absence of restraints that makes us free. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom comes from us being obedient, comes from these restraints that God gives to us. It is in submitting to the authority of the Holy Spirit that sets us free. It produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, temperance, faith. We are to put ourselves under the authority of this book, and we are to put ourselves under the authority of the local church. Okay? Third, we are to reach out on July 8th, 1776, the Liberty Bell rang from Freedom Hall in Philadelphia, summoning the citizens to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. On that Liberty Bell is Leviticus 25 and verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That, ladies and gentlemen, is still our responsibility today. Paul reminds us that we have a common need for the free gift that God gives to us. And here's how that is accomplished. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Let us never, ever forget that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that free gift of salvation. And then, dear Father, help us to remember that freedom is not free. It costs something. It costs us. So, Father, help us to give back to a world that has been very, very good to us. Help us to do what somebody did for us. Somebody explained to us at some time how to be saved. And we understood that if we were to pray a very simple prayer like, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, that he will do that. Father, help us to take the sweet story of salvation to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart about anything this morning, we give you an